Okay, so firstly, I'd like to thank the organisers for giving me the opportunity to speak. I'd also like to thank the CS for giving up this slot. I'm going to present some work I've been doing with Marcella and Matthias and a postdoc in Zurich, Adrian Carmona. And I'm going to be looking at Higgs physics where the, in the Randall syndrome model where the Higgs propagates in the bulk. So normally, in the Randall syndrome model, the Higgs is strictly localised onto the infrared brain. However, there's a whole host of reasons for why it's interesting to consider the Higgs in the bulk. I'm going to focus on one in particular. Sorry, there's a pointer there. And that is that when you put the Higgs in the bulk, what you have is a relatively concrete model which allows you to investigate how Higgs cohomology changes as you change the scaling dimension of the Higgs operator. However, there's a second point I really want to emphasize, which is a more generic point. So in the understanding model physics generically, you have stringent constraints from electroweak physics and flavor physics. And these two constraints are to a certain extent orthogonal. The electroweak constraints are dominated by the oblique corrections, and the flavor constraints are dominated by the four fermion operators. So Higgs physics really bridges these two sets of constraints. And so I want to give a specific example of how the constraints from flavor physics, despite their low precision, complement those coming from electroweak constraints, in particular flavor constraints. Okay, so very briefly, the model we're going to consider is really a slice of undetermined space with two brains cutting off, and we're going to allow for a Higgs bulk. And so the important point is that the Higgs BEV, when you solve for it, what you find is that it's not flat with respect to the extra dimension, but it's heavily peaked towards the one brain. And in particular, the exponent of this brain is given by the bulk potential, and it's this beta parameter. And so when you compute the holographic, the Higgs propagate on a holographic basis, you can find that the scaling dimension of the Higgs operator is 2 plus beta. And so this beta will prove to be quite an important parameter. And so from there, the rest of the standard, the rest of the field content is as in the standard model. And so you can carry on through. And so the first process to look at is, for example, Higgs to WW. This is relatively straightforward. Calculation is a single integral. And you can demonstrate, for completely generic 5D geometry, that this is always less than the standard model value. But it's the precise value of this is very sensitive to how you fit to the electroweak observables. So it's particularly sensitive to where in the S and T ellipse you're already sitting. But having said that, it's a largely standard model result. But things become more interesting when you start looking at, in particular, gluon-gluon fusion, where you're looking at processes where the leading order contribution is a loop process. So as was mentioned yesterday, although the scale of new physics is quite high, particularly the KK scale is multi-TeV level, you have a very high multiplicity of modes. And this can still give sizable contributions. In particular, when you consider fermions in five dimensions, you find that they're vector-like. And so with the exception of the zero mode, you have two mass eigenstates for each KK level. Okay? And so when you, these will mix with the Yukawa couplings, and when you compute the effect of Yukawa coupling in the mass eigenstate basis, what you find is that for very large values of beta, these two values asymptote to plus or minus the same value. And so this actually gives you quite a curious anomalous result for the brain Higgs result. So in particular, if you were to take the limit as beta goes to infinity, so either the brain localized limit, then what you find is that two couplings have the same value, but the lighter modes, the dash modes, will then dominate, and so you'll get a suppression in the result. However, if you were to first sum the KK modes, you notice that the heavier modes are slightly larger Yukawa couplings, and then send beta to infinity, you then get an enhancement. And so the brain Higgs result is, to a certain extent, ambiguous. And this has been studied in a range of papers, in particular recently by a paper by a group of minds looking at it from a 5D perspective. However, when the Higgs is in the bulk, the result is unambiguous. You always get an enhancement. Okay. However, the size of that enhancement is linearly sensitive to the 5D Yukawa coupling. And this really brings me to the point I wanted to make about the connection with flavor physics. So in these 5D models, the fermion masses are determined partly by the 5D Yukawa couplings, and also partly by how composite the fermions are, how peaked the fermion profiles are towards the ultraviolet brain. And so this value of the 5D car, the allowed range of the 5D car couplings, will then determine essentially how composite your fermions are. So as is well known, the random syndrome model has a natural suppression of flavor-changing neutral currents, which is known as the RS-GIM mechanism. But this relies on your fermion being quite elementary, either quite peaked towards the UV brain. And what you find is that this 5D Yukawa coupling then determines... So this 5D Yukawa coupling is partially constrained by... it can't be too large, otherwise you lose perturbative control of the theory. Now, the point which it loses, you lose perturbative control of the theory, has been estimated by naive dimensional analysis to be approximately 3 times the units of the theory, but has not been calculated explicitly. It's extremely important for the size of the flavor constraints. You find that the KK scale has to be larger than 10 to 15 coming from constraints from particularly epsilon K. However, if you increase this value of 3 to, for example, 12, the constraints, all your fermion profiles can sit further towards the UV brain, and the epsilon K constraint essentially goes away. But this is where the relation with flavor physics is. So this naive dimensional analysis is a slightly shaky bound, but now with the discovery of the Higgs, this 5D constrained by Higgs physics rather than this perturbativity bound. And this is really the central point. Okay. And so you can see how the gluon-gluon fusion results change as you change, for example, the Yukawa coupling from 6 to 3. Okay. So very briefly, Higgs to gamma-gamma is analogous to, it's a loop process, but it's a more involved process. In particular, you have an extended scalar sector, which is the scalar sector is coming from a mixing from the W5 with your additional Higgs, your charged Higgses, if you like. However, these scalars are actually quite heavy. They're given by approximate relation. An important point is that the gauge invariants play a very important role in reducing what contributions there are to the Higgs to gamma-gamma. And particularly naively, you may think that you may have diagrams such as this, where these are now the physical scalars. However, gauge invariance forbids the vertex between the gamma W and the physical scalar. And so this eliminates a lot of these diagrams from the Higgs to gamma-gamma process. And to actually find out that these extended scalar sectors don't make too significant a contribution to Higgs to gamma-gamma. And again, you find that the dominant deviation from the standard model is really coming from the fermion loops in Higgs to gamma-gamma. And so finally, we can put all this together, and we can see that and compare with the signal strength from the experiment. And we again see that although the precision on Higgs physics is very, very... they're not precisely measured, the 5D, you can still see that already at 40 eV, this resolution to the epsilon K problem of sort of increasing the 5D Yukawa couplings has already been excluded when you look at, for example, the correlation between WW and gamma-gamma. And so even with this very low precision, we're still being able to make statements of relevance to flavor constraints. So this really sort of brings me to my conclusions. So one of the sort of central problems facing physics today is it's much easier to write down a new model than it is to rule a model out. And so what I've tried to demonstrate is that Higgs physics with even quite low precision still has... So Higgs physics plays a central role in linking the constraints together, right, and allows you to come up with... So for example, a relevant question is how do you distinguish between, for example, composite Higgs models where the Higgs is a pseudo Goldstone boson and models where I've distinguished portrayed here and where you put the Higgs in by hand. And the point is that while in flavor constraints and electroweak constraints, these are difficult to distinguish. Higgs physics, there are genuinely testable differences between these two models. And I will stop there a little bit earlier.
So if I remember correctly, at least in extended Higgs sectors, models with W, Z, charged Higgs vertices often have the rho parameter different from one. So I was wondering if in these models, do you have problems with S&T?
The model we're considering here, we don't have a custodial symmetry. So you will get a contribution to the T parameter. In terms of the charge scalar contribution to the T parameter, well, I think this will be a loop effect. And so the point with the extra-dimensional models is you get a tree-level contribution to the T parameter. And this will typically dominate over the loop effect.
Right, but even a loop effect is...
Yes, it's
constrained.
It is constrained. It also is quite challenging to calculate in these 5D models. Mm-hmm. Whether it's even calculable at all is not certain. So this was estimated in this paper by Santiago and Carmona, which, again, they look at it just by dimensional analysis. But I think the full calculation at one loop has not been done. Again, without the custodial symmetry. You can include the air, yeah, certainly. But
that was sort of where I was headed. If you extended the model with some custodial symmetry,
yes.
Does it begin to change some of these loop results to?
Yes. So when you extend the model the big difference in terms of Higgs physics is when you extend the model to custodial symmetry, you have a larger fermionic sector. And so this will basically give you... the reason why we see such large contributions to Higgs physics is you have a large multiplicity of fermionic modes. So when you extend it to custodial symmetry, you also have to extend the fermionic sector. And so this will inevitably give you a larger effect again. But the approach we're taking here is we walk before you can run.
I was just curious, there might be cancellations or something.
So for the T parameter, obviously, yes. And T and U parameter. For the other effects, I'm not certain.
We looked at this, the limit of large beta. You see that these results flatten out to a constant value. Then in the custodial model, the effect is exactly three times as big as in the minimal model. So there's no cancellation, there's an enhancement, and it's really just a counting of the number of degrees of freedom in the loop, roughly speaking. Always assuming random 5D Yukawa matrices. This is why it becomes simple. And then Higgs to gamma-gamma is a little bit more complicated because you have to wait with the charges, but roughly speaking, you also get an enhancement. I forgot by some fraction. That's not three. Maybe it's 21.6 or something.
I mean, it is worth emphasizing that the vertex between the charge scalars electron and the W is forbidden by gauge invariance. The charge scalar Z and W vertex is allowed, and so this is where potentially Higgs to Z gamma is a much more interesting calculation in that respect. But again, we haven't done it, and it's
okay. Could I just ask one very simple question? Could you go back one slide?
Yeah.
Could you tell us again what blue, red, and green are? I'm sorry.
What I'm doing here is I'm trying to emphasize the point is that
the definition of blue, red, and green?
So here the blue here in these lower plots would be the Yukawa couplings up to 10 would be the green plot, and 3 would be, no, sorry, 10 would be the blue plots, red would be the, 6 would be the red plots, and green would be the 3 points. Where here, the blue, red, and the green are referring to different KK scales, so the blue. So what I'm pointing out is really the fact that you can either satisfy epsilon Higgs constraints by reducing the allowed range of the Yukawa couplings or increasing the KK scale.
Great.
It's equivalent.
Okay, so let's thank Paul again. Thank you.